there will be no sin. It's going to be tremendous. How would you like to live eternally in a world of turmoil and sin like we do now? I mean, just stop and think. How would you like to live forever and ever and ever, and forever you would have the crime problem, forever you would have the sin problem, forever you would have neighbor against neighbor? Wouldn't work. That's why Satan has to be bound, and he's going to be bound in utter darkness. And that's why God has to completely forgive our sins so that we can live forever in this kind of atmosphere. Now let's go down to verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. You know, sometimes when you're really down in the dumps, go to God and just read some of these Psalms and realize it's true. If nothing else, just say, God, you know, I'm claiming this promise. You're plenteous in mercy. You're slow to anger. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Why? Because he gave his Son, Jesus Christ, to forgive them. As the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. For he knows our frame, and he remembers we are dust. For as man, his days are as grass, and as the flower of the field, so he flourishes. The wind blows over, passes over rather, and it's gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. Yeah, that's sure true. I mean, just look at how the deserts come. You know, the sand just keeps moving in. You know, if you look at the Sierra today, would you ever believe that that used to be pasture land? But there's evidence that it was pasture land. Now it's just a pile of sand, hot, cold, miserable place, worse, one of the worst places in the world. Okay, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant and to those that remember his commandments to do them. So that's a tremendously encouraging psalm, showing God's mercy and his goodness to us. Now, let's just cover a couple more here before we get into another aspect of this. Let's go to Psalm 11 and verse 7, since we're here in the book of Psalms. Let's go back to Psalm 11 and verse 7. It says, for the righteous Lord loves righteousness. And of course, if we are the righteousness of Christ, which we are, how much then does God love us? Tremendous amount. Okay. His countenance does behold the upright. You know, it says his ears are open to our prayers, that he delights in the prayer of the righteous and so forth. And so those are just very encouraging psalms for us. Now let's go back to 2 Thessalonians 3. 2 Thessalonians 3. And let's pick it up here in verse 3. It says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Now, you know, you think about that for a minute. Hasn't God kept us from evil? Yes, he has. He sure has. He's kept us from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts. Now, you see, God is the one that has to do it. Into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. So God is going to direct us into this love. Now, what kind of love is it going to be? What did Jesus say? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, we did two sermons at the feast on the love of God, so you might want to go ahead and review those again or listen to the tapes on them. because obviously everything that we have here in the book of John is going to be based somehow on love and belief. Everything there in the book of John is based on love and belief. Now, just as we're going back to the Gospel of John, chapter 3, and so we'll go back there right now, let me just tell you something here that is very important. There's that word again. Okay? The Greek word for belief or believing is pisto. The Greek word for faith is pistos. Now, the word belief is used all the way through the Gospel of John, and he uses it combined with the epistles of John. He uses that word 116 times. When it says, he that believes into him, believes on his name. And of course, that's the whole reason. Remember one of the first verses in the book of John that we read, which was John 20, and I think verse 31, John 20 and verse 31, where it says, these things I write unto you that you may believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And it's used more than any other epistle in the whole New Testament, the word belief. Now, we covered a little bit about judging, but let's go down to verse 19 of John 3. And let's cover the contrast between light and dark, or lightness and darkness. Verse 19, and this is the judgment. There was one judgment that came with the first coming of Christ. And that was what? The judgment against whom? Satan the devil. That judgment came because Christ overcame him. That the light has come into the world. Now we know in John 8 and verse 12, Jesus said what? I am the light of the world. So the light has come into the world. But what is it that men love? They love darkness rather than the light, for their works. Now in the King James it says deeds. But if you look in your interlinear, the word is ta erga, which is works. Their works were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light and comes not to the light, that his works may not be exposed. And that is so true of human nature. And you know, you take like this, and I think that for the first time, I have a good perspective on why a Christmas sounds so good to people, even though in the Bible it tells us directly that Christmas is condemned. Yet, people have to do a certain amount of good, don't they, to feel good. So if they do something for kids who don't have toys, they feel good about it, don't they? And so this is the time that's provided. Let's have a family reunion. Nothing wrong with that. Let's do good things for our children. Don't your children want to have nice things? Well, let's do that. That'll be nice. And then you tie in all this counterfeit, and yet it just not true. So that's how Satan is able to do it. I've done this too. So have you. If you tell someone who is absolutely enthralled with Christmas, if you tell them, you know, that Christmas is of Satan the devil, they're liable to take you out and shoot you. You know, because they're doing so many good things. You know, they could do good things other time of the year too, but you know, it's that way. So I've learned not to tell them that because they hate the light. Just like with my work. I don't tell everybody I keep the Sabbath. Some know I keep the Sabbath, but I just tell them, well, I do all my church things on Saturday, so never on a Saturday. Just remember, Fred Coulter, never on a Saturday, you know. And they remember that. But if I said, why, you're a dirty rat. I keep the Sabbath and you don't. You realize what an evil sinner you are? You realize how bad you are? You know, they just couldn't take it, you know. I wouldn't put down any loans anywhere. It'd be terrible. Okay, let's talk about the light. Let's talk about the darkness. And as I mentioned, this one Catholic that I heard, he gave the sweetest presentation of darkness that I've ever heard in my whole life. And I just couldn't get over it. Okay, Christ is the light of the world. John, the first chapter, it is the light that lightens all men. All life comes from God. Now let's go to 1 John, the first chapter. And here we have the contrast of whether you are walking in the light or whether you are walking in the darkness. And of course, it says here that those who are in the light will be coming to the light that will reveal that their works have been manifest in God. Okay, now 1 John, the first chapter, and verse 5. And this is the message that we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light. Now in the Greek, it's pronounced this way, ho theos phos estin. And there is not any darkness at all in him. Now, one of the major things concerning all of the religions of this world is that they have degrees of light and darkness. And that those who supposedly have the greatest understanding are called what? The enlightened ones. But we're going to see what light that is. Obviously not of God. But in God, there is not any darkness. That's why God is perfectly righteous. You know, as we discussed that one Bible study, why doesn't God sin? Because he wills not to sin, or it's impossible for him to sin. It's impossible. He cannot sin. So there is no darkness in him at all. Now, how is New Jerusalem going to be lit? There's no need for the sun or the moon. Why? Because the Lamb and God are in it and are what? Are the light thereof. Okay. And if we should say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness. Now, what does it mean to walk in darkness? We need to find that out. There are people who are good, stable citizens of the society who do not know about God, but who are walking in darkness because what? They are blinded. They can do good things one to another, but they have not been called, they have not been converted, and that goodness is the goodness of man, not the goodness of God. And there's a vast difference here. If we should say we have fellowship with him and in darkness should walk, we lie and practice not the truth. So what does this tell us? If we're walking in the light and if we're coming to the light, we're what? We are practicing the truth. If in the light we should walk as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from every sin. So even the forgiveness of sin is conditional on coming to the light. So everything is conditional on coming to the light. And if we are coming to the light, then God is going to be with us, his grace will be with us, and so forth. Yeah, in that verse where he says, if we should say that we have fellowship with him and in darkness walk, we lie and do not the truth. And the word we is a broader sense of just what we could say in modern terminology, a generic we, that is we, anybody. Okay? And he will show the difference here in chapter 2. But if we should walk in the light, now that's where the grace of God covers our sins, if we're walking in the light. As he is in the light, We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from every sin. If we should say that we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous and just, forgive our sins, and so forth. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, let's come down. Let's come down here to chapter 2 and verse 3. And by this we know. Now, we have to know, are we walking in the light or are we walking in darkness? How are we going to know? And by this we know that we have known him if we keep his commandments. And we're going to see some pretty profound verses concerning the commandments of God. He that says, now it's coming down to he. First of all, he was saying we in a greater sense of anybody who, okay? In this sense, now he's saying he, that is any particular one, that says, I have known him. Now this really means someone coming along who says, well, I knew Jesus. I saw him in Judea. I saw him heal the sick and raise the dead and feed the thousand. That's what it's talking about. Have known him. And his commandments is not keeping, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. Okay, so we found here the key. How is it that you are walking in the light? Well, let's answer that question. First of all, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Next, if we are Christians and we have God's Spirit in us, Christ is in us through the power of God's Holy Spirit. That's number two. All right, number three then has to do with the commandments of God, which is something tangible and visible that we can see. Then we will see the fourth thing has to do with our attitude. So let's look at number three concerning the commandments of God. Let's go to Proverbs 6 and verse 23. Now we're going to see why John emphasized the light and the darkness, okay, and the commandments of God. That goes right back here to Proverbs 6 and verse 23. Concerning the commandments of God and what they do. Okay, verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp. Or as it is in a margin, a candle. Now you remember about a candle? Where were there seven candles? In the temple. And that was to symbolize the light of God's word. For the commandment is a lamp and the law is light. So if we are keeping the commandments of God and walking in the truth, we are what? We are walking in the light. Okay, let's see this again in Psalm 119 and verse 105. Psalm 119 and verse 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, what does it say about the righteous? Let's go to the first psalm, just over here, just a few pages. The first psalm, the very first psalm. What is it that the righteous are going to do? Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, that is, walking in the way of darkness, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of God, and in his law he does meditate day and night. Now, the new covenant is what? To put the laws of God in our minds, in our hearts, in our inward parts. So with the Spirit of Christ, with Christ in us, with the third ingredient of walking in God's law, of using that for the light, that's how we keep walking to Christ. If we are keeping his commandments, we are coming to Christ. And if we are coming to Christ, we are coming to who? The light of the world, so we are walking toward that light. Always. And it's just like many of the things we've talked about. And I've thought about it, and I've said it's like a circle. You begin here, and you come right back. No, it's like a sphere. Where if you take one subject and you go around a globe, that's like a circle. But the whole picture is the sphere. The whole Christian life, the whole thing of God is like a sphere. And it covers many aspects. And it says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the river of water, which brings forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Okay, the ungodly are not so. They are like chaff which the wind drives away. And I think we're going to see that in the action and behaviors of those who have done it. It's coming to nothing. Literally coming to nothing. All right, now let's look at some other scriptures here. Okay, now what happens? We'll find out here in Psalm 18 in verse 28. What happens if you may stray from the commandment or stray from the light? You're not leaving the light, but you may stray from it. Here's what happens. Psalm 18 and verse 28. For he will light my candle. Well, that is my lamp. And we'll see in just a minute that the eye is light of the body. He's talking about lighting his way. And the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. In other words, if we are going off into the darkness, then God is going to lighten the way so we can get out of it and get away from it. That's a blessing of continually coming to the light. If we are coming to the light, God will show us. Isn't that the promise that God will reveal even this to us? Sure he will. Okay, now that's how all these things work together and operate together. Proverbs 13 and verse 9. Proverbs 13 and verse 9. The light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. So there is a lamp of the wicked. And Jesus talks about this. And we will see that Satan is the power of darkness, yet he appears as an angel of light. Okay, the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Now let's turn to Matthew 6. Where Jesus talks about the light and it talks about the darkness, which has to do with not only the way that we are walking or going, but it has to do with our mind and our heart and our attitude, and then we will see who is the power of that. And there are called in the Bible the ways of darkness, the works of darkness, and as we saw here, the candle of the wicked will be put out. Okay. Matthew 6 and verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. Now this is absolutely true spiritually and physically. Now they have what is called iridology, where they can look in the eye and different spots and things mean different things. Okay? And it's true. When you are sick and don't feel good, your eyes get what? Draggy and red. And if you're really in bad shape, well then you even get looking real droopy-eyed and things like this. It's a mirror of the body. It's a mirror of the mind. Okay? If therefore your eye be single, that is single-purposed. And of course our single purpose is what? Here, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's the single-purposedness that we have through Christ. Okay? If your eye be single, verse 22 now, your whole body shall be full of light. But if your eye be evil, your whole body shall be full of darkness. And if therefore the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? Why? Because Satan the devil is the one who has the power of darkness. Well, let's go to Colossians, the first chapter. Colossians 1 and verse 13, it says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness. The Greek here is exousios, which means the authority of darkness. Now, just stop and think a minute. What happened in the case of Job? Satan came and he got what? He got authority. He had permission to do what he had. All right? Satan is the one who has the power and authority of darkness, and that is likened unto sin. Okay? And has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. In other words, we are brought out from underneath that power of darkness. Let's go to Acts, the book of Acts. I think it's chapter 28. No, I beg your pardon. It's Acts 26. Acts 26 and verse 18. Here is the whole commission of the gospel. To open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, who is Christ, from the power of Satan. And of course, that is parallel then, darkness and power of Satan. And we saw the power of darkness. Okay? So it shows that Satan is the one who's the power of darkness, unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. All right, so Satan is the one who has the power of darkness. But how does he appear? How does he appear? Yes. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. God's gospel and the light of the gospel is to shine into our lives to expose sin so that we may repent, that we may accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's why Satan hates God's way. Okay, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now, if you're blinded, you're in darkness. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So when a person is in the power of darkness, they cannot recognize the light. How is it that they operate then? Because we can think of a very basic scripture which says that Satan has what? Deceived the whole world. And if he has, then that means that the blindness has covered their eyes. They can't see. Spiritually. I mean, they can look and see a physical world. But if they look out and see a physical world, they view it entirely differently. Entirely differently. Okay, let's see how that is. Let's go back to Isaiah the 5th chapter. Everything gets turned upside down. That's what happens when it's allowed to run its course. When it's allowed to go its evil way. Isaiah the 5th chapter, and this is a perfect description of our whole society today. I'll just let you read the whole chapter, but let's come down here to Isaiah 5 and verse 20. And as we saw last week, why God's laws would be good for this society, we'd run into exactly this verse. It says, woe to them that call evil good. And good evil. That's what happens. Everything is totally backwards. Now, it's the same way in a picture. When you have a picture taken and there's a negative, you pick up the negative and all of the dark area looks white and all the white area looks dark, doesn't it? Just the opposite. So we could liken what happens to a person who is under the power of darkness. If they're in the total grips of darkness, everything appears exactly backwards, though they look at it, just look at the same thing, but they look through different colored glasses, as it were. So they would view life as if you would look at a negative, and everything's just the opposite. And we have that today with our laws. We have evil laws that are called good. And we have the good laws of God, if they were introduced into the society, would be called evil. And that put darkness for light. That's exactly what happens. They put Satan's way for God's way. And light for darkness. Put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe to them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. And you could take that spiritually or physically, both. And I think if there was any drunken person spiritually I have ever heard was this Catholic priest on KGO last week explaining about why the Catholics are so good and great and wonderful. It was just, I couldn't believe it. Like I said, I could only listen a few minutes at a time to him, and it just sugar-coated so sweet, just, oh, couldn't believe it. Which justify the wicked for reward. You know what that man said? The first time I turned it off, he said it, an atheist can be just as close to God as a good Catholic. And I thought, incredible! How can an atheist be close to God? You know, about that time, boy, I wished I had a phone in my car and, you know, putting... I thought, stupid. Because it is. Why can an atheist never be close to God? Because it says in Hebrews, the 11th chapter and verse 6, that he who comes to God must believe that he is. And if you don't believe who he is, how can you be close to God? Boy, I tell you, putting light for darkness, justify the wicked for a reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, the fire devours the stubble, as that does, and the flame consumes the chaff. So their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as the dust, because they cast away, and here it is, the law of the Lord of hosts. We're right back to the law is light, and the commandment is a lamp. Okay, and have despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. They have. They've replaced it. It's called a yearly missal for their prayers. And I heard one of these good Catholics call up and say, well, how can these people be Christian? They don't even have prayers and a missal to read from. And I turned it off at that point, too. Okay, now let's go to, here's where the Bible talks about the ways of darkness. Proverbs 2 and verse 10. Okay, Proverbs 2 and verse 10. When wisdom enters into your heart, and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, this is obviously God's way. It's talking about being enlightened with God's word. Discretion shall preserve you. Understanding shall keep you to deliver you from the way of evil men, from the man that speaks froward things, or that is perverse things, who leave the paths of righteousness to walk in the ways of darkness. And that's the way most men, and the deeper they go into Satan's way, remember we talked about the depths of Satan, the darker it becomes, and the more they claim they have light, because they are getting closer to Satan, who appears as an angel of light. The ways of darkness. Okay, Proverbs 4 and verse 19. The way of the wicked is as darkness, and they know not at what they stumble. I would have to say that's a perfect description of the homosexuals and AIDS. They want the government to solve it. They want them to give them a vaccine, and they're getting it. They don't know why they're getting it, yet they're told they're getting it, yet they're so blind they can't understand it. And I'm sure that's the same with many, many other things, many other crimes, many other ways of human beings, see? They walk in darkness, and they don't know what they're stumbling at. The Jews are walking in darkness and stumbled over Christ, and they didn't know. He was to them a stumbling block. Okay, Let's go to the New Testament now. Let's go to John 12 and verse 35. Let's begin in verse 31, because this gives us the contrast as we're going. Here's the judgment that came. Now is the judgment of this world, and Jesus was saying this just before his last Passover, and this would put it approximately the day before the Sabbath, or this was on the Sabbath before he was crucified. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. And the people answered him, We have heard out of the law that Christ abides forever. How do you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said to them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. We could use that for us. If we are not walking and coming to the light, then darkness is going to come upon us. For he that walks in darkness knows not where he goes. And how many people are out there and they don't even know what life is about, where they're going or anything? While you have light, believe in the light that you may be the children of light rather than the children of darkness. And these things Jesus spoke and departed and hid himself from them. Now, let's go to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Ephesians 5 and verse 11. Ephesians 5 and verse 11, it says, Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Or expose them. Let the light expose it. Okay? Now, let's go to 1 John, the 2nd chapter, and let's see how a person, being a Christian, and stopping his walk to the light, how is it that he can do it? Okay? First John 2 and verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shines. That's Christ. He that says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even till now. That's the one thing that Satan can use to get people off the path of light, but to get in an attitude of hatred. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling. But he that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and doesn't know where he's going, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. And that's one of the, that's why he says, judge not lest you be judged. Now, that is the third thing of the attitude, that if you practice hatred, now we are to love righteousness and we are to hate sin, but we are not to hate brethren. Okay? Why are we to hate sin? Because sin is what destroys, but we are not to hate people, because that puts us in an attitude of hatred. No, when brethren. Well, obviously it's for anyone. Even Jesus said, you know, you've heard in time past to love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say unto you what? Love your enemies. Okay? Now you may have to work at doing that so that your attitude will be right, because you understand why they are your enemies. And commend them into God's hands, whatever God wants to do. Let him take care of it. And don't sit in the seat of God to execute judgment upon them. That's far better. It's a lot easier. You don't go around with mental hang-ups, but it's true. You can't go out and just hate to hate. You're to hate sin. You know, we know that in the Bible. We're to hate sin. For what? So that we can turn to righteousness. We're to not hate people. Because then that puts us in an attitude, a despising attitude of what God has created and who knows may call. Now, the biggest thing to really be aware of, who is the author of darkness, let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and that is Satan, the devil, and also the religious leaders that come from them. And they look so good, and they sound so good. I never heard anybody talk nicer than this Catholic priest who was talking about Catholicism. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And yet he is the one who has the power of darkness. And isn't it interesting? Every great new leap into sin is called what? It's called progress. It's called enlightenment. Okay? Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. That's why God wants us to walk in faith, walk in the light, and believe in him, because he will take care of us. Okay, that's 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 through 15. Now, let's see Satan's fate. Let's go to Jude 13. Jude 13. That's the last little book before the book of Revelation. Now, there are no chapters, they're just verses. So we'll right here. It says, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars. Now, we know stars have been referred to as, remember when Satan fell, he cast with him a third of the stars of heaven. We know that that has to do with the angels that fell with Satan. All right, these are the wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And that's going to be the ultimate of Satan's fate. While we are living in New Jerusalem, in the light of the Father and of Christ, Satan is going to be out here somewhere in the universe where he's going to be confined in utter, absolute darkness and blackness forever and ever and ever. Okay, now let's go back to John, the third chapter. Let's go back to John, the third chapter, and just review this. And then the next two sermons will be on the grace of God. First one will be the grace of God in the Old Testament, and then the grace of God in the New Testament, so that we can thoroughly understand that. All right, let's go back to John 3. John 3, and let's pick it up here in verse 21. But he who is practicing the truth, now that's us, and let's make sure we are practicing the truth. And we know that's God's law, God's commandments, God's way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I am the light of the world. All these things coming together. So great here in the book of John. He that practices the truth comes to the light, that his works may be manifest. Now notice there is the word erga again, his works. His works may be manifest, that they have been wrought in God. So let's walk in the light, and let's keep coming to the light. And let's have God be with us so that these things of darkness can be not overtaking us or overpowering us. Okay, we'll continue. The next one, the book of John, will be here in John 3 and verse 22.